Hello. My name's Carl Monaghan. This is a Friday takeaway. These are little tidbits and snippets of information to help you in your journey in recovering from chronic pelvic pain syndrome, chronic prostatitis, and other men's health pelvic conditions as well. So I want to take a really serious tone this week, actually. So here in the UK, it is Mental Health Awareness Week, running from the 13th to the 19th of May. And it's really, really important to raise awareness around our mental well-being. Mental health actually has a negative connotation to it, doesn't it? But actually, I think it should be switched around. And mental health, like physical health, should be discussed much more openly and much more broadly and much more widely. There are a number of charities that help with this. Probably for men's health, the most notable and recognisable men's health charity is Movember or Movement. Now, it's an international movement as well, not just a regional or country-based charity. The importance of charities like Movember, as well as some others, and I'm going to mention one more today, at least one more. So I've mentioned the Mental Health Foundation doing Mental Health Awareness Week this week, and the importance of that. And so if you're in the UK, mentalhealth.org.uk is the website that is running. The foundation that is running this week's awareness event, Movember, that's Movember with an M for mother, happens later in the year, in November, surprise, surprise, and is a great awareness campaign again about talking about the importance specifically for men's mental well-being. I'm hoping to reach out to Movember later this year and start the ball rolling in getting more awareness about the impact that chronic pelvic pain syndrome and chronic prostatitis have over men's mental well-being. I'm not saying that this condition's in your head at all, far from it. I'm not saying that you are making this up, that this is merely thought and anxiety only. But every patient, and myself included, who has this condition or these conditions suffers with some degree or some level of mental distress. Now, it might be some anxiety at a low level. It might be some panic. It might be some catastrophization. It might be some fear. It might be uncertainty. It might be criticism, self-judgment, lack of self-worth. Lots and lots and lots of these things are incredibly common. And it's okay to admit that as well. The condition is really, really complex, and it often extends way, way, way beyond the prostate, or infection, or inflammatory markers, and even muscles. And I'm going to do a series of podcasts that look at pelvic floor dysfunction and what it is and what it isn't, and the role of looking beyond muscles. It's really, really important to consider the role of the mind and the role of uncertain thoughts in this condition, because it does throw up loads of uncertainty. It certainly makes us look at ourselves in a very, very different way. I know when I had my condition, it made me panicked, hugely panicked, and very anxious around my future, whether I was going to be able to have a partner or have sex again. I wanted a family. And I was very, very uncertain as to whether that would be even possible for me. So at that time, not only was I going through a pain experience, but I was also starting to feel really, really uncertain and panicked and angry and resentful and bitter towards the care that I'd had. I now have a wife, of 12 years. We've been married, and we've been together now 18 years. And I've got two incredible boys, 7 and a half nearly, and nearly 5. So it's very normal. If you're having negative thoughts, it's incredibly normal. And I need to give a nod here for a number of different reasons, but those thoughts can really escalate. All right. And sometimes They can lead to a patient not wanting to be here. So suicidal thoughts are incredibly common. There was a research paper back in 2001. It was an online internet survey, way, way, way before the internet is what it is now, but an online internet survey of men with this condition. And 5%, so I think it was something like, anyway, I can't remember the exact figures, but something like 154 patients were given the paper. 8, 9% of them responded. And of those 9% that responded, 5% of them had had suicidal thoughts. Now, that was 23 years ago. I feel the world is a lot more pressured now. I feel there's a lot more general anxiety around for a number of different reasons, of which I'm not going to explore with you today. But suicidal thoughts and suicidal ideation, that is the idea of committing suicide, are common. And every couple of months, I have a patient who thankfully opens up and contacts me and is able to say, look, I'm in a dark place. I'm not doing very well. I'm not coping very well. I'm really, really struggling, and I'd rather not be here. Now, I have a duty of care towards patients, and if anyone displays thoughts around suicide or suicidal ideation, which is the idea of taking it a step further, not just the thoughts, but maybe even a plan around taking their own life, then I have a duty of care towards patients as well to ensure that they're safe and others around them are safe as well. This condition is incredibly tough and incredibly hard and takes us to some incredibly dark, dark places. It's good to talk. It's good to open up. It's good to be honest with yourself and those around you as well. Weeks like this, Mental Health Awareness Week, are really, really important around raising the awareness of the role of our mental well-being. I know I've had anxiety, or I had anxiety for much of my adult life, social anxiety. I also suffered from bouts of paranoia. In my mid-20s and late-20s, around the time I had my condition, not associated with my condition, but probably didn't help me in dealing with it. My dad has had complex grief for many years. He's no longer here now. He passed away last year, but he had complex grief for decades and really severe PTSD. So I have grown up with mental health challenges in our own family and seen them firsthand and seen how destructive they can be, particularly if they're not well managed and not well addressed and not well attended to either. So why am I saying this? Well, one, it's Mental Health Awareness Week. I've had conversations this week with a couple of patients around how their negative thoughts have really spiraled, to the point of them not coping and not wanting to be here. And I need to give a nod to something as well. And this was, and I'll put this on the, because it's important that you are aware of this, either as a patient or a healthcare provider, or as maybe someone who is the loved one, of someone who's going through this condition. This is on the UK government website. And this was published on the 26th of September 2023. So today's date is, well, I'm recording this on Wednesday. So actually, it's not quite Friday, but it is a Wednesday. So it's Wednesday, the 8th of May 2024. And there's loads of this, right? You don't need to dig very deep to identify the role of fluoroquinolones and suicidal thoughts and antibiotics. Sorry, suicidal thoughts and behaviors. So fluoroquinolones are a range of antibiotics, including ciprofloxacin, deflofloxacin, levofloxacin, moxifloxacin, and ofloxacin. This is on the government website, right? The UK government website. And like I said, you can do your own digging. Antibiotics or ciprofloxacin and suicidal thoughts. This, I'll read this out for you. Healthcare professionals prescribing fluoroquinolone antibiotics, the ones I've mentioned, are reminded to be alert to the risk of psychiatric reactions, including depression and psychotic reactions, which may potentially lead to thoughts of suicide or suicide attempts. Healthcare professionals are also reminded to advise patients to be alert to these risks. Now, are you or have you been put on fluoroquinolones in the past, and were you reminded or alerted to the potential risks to your mental well-being? Probably not. This is shocking. This is disgusting. Fluoroquinolones are the number one prescribed drug in the use in the treatment of chronic pelvic pain syndrome and chronic prostatitis, even in the absence of any bacteria present. But this is what's happening. Overprescription. Not only does that lead to antibiotic resistance, but and also issues with tendons and musculoskeletal issues, but this. If you are taking these medications and you are feeling anxious and uncertain, and listen, the condition itself makes us feel anxious and uncertain, let alone taking an agent, an antimicrobial agent that may well be contributing to the way that you're feeling and adding to the complexity of this as well. All right. Please, please reach out and talk to someone. Go to your GP, go to your urologist, go to your prescriber and say, this is not working for me. If you're suffering with mental health, if you're suffering from anxious thoughts and perhaps have even progressed a little bit further, do consider the role of the medication that you are taking. My cat's about to jump on. If you're watching this on video on the catch up, then this is my cat. This is Ronnie. And that's quite timely to change the mood, isn't it? Come on, Ronnie, down you come. Please, please, please be aware of the role of antibiotic use, particularly those fluoroquinolones, and the potential damaging side effects that they may have. If you are speaking to a GP or urologist about the role of your medication, then please mention this to them, especially if you are suffering with anxious thoughts or worse, suicidal thoughts and suicidal behavior. I'm not blaming the medication alone, all right, but something has to change here. There are an incredible amount of charities out there helping and supporting in each region in the world, and if you are struggling, please do reach out and talk to anyone. Please reach out. Okay, you're not alone. This is an incredibly tough condition. The reason I set up the support groups, the reason I do what I do, is to help and support men going through this. Now, the last pilot of the global community support group takes place this Friday, and then I roll it out publicly. So there'll be a chance for men globally with this condition, suffering from a range of different physical and mental ailments, to reach out and chat with other men. You're not alone. Please, please, please do not suffer in silence. Please reach out. Okay, chat with your GP, chat with your urologist, chat with a parent, chat with a friend. Look at some of the incredible charities that are out there. Movember for everyone globally. If you're here in the UK, the and again, I'll put this in the website as well, but CALM, the Campaign Against Living Miserably, CALM, is a wonderful, wonderful website. There is support, there is advice, there is help out there. You're not alone. I'm here to help and support you guys as well. I normally try and keep these podcasts quite light-hearted and relatively entertaining, but it's important we do take a stop every now and again and do really highlight the importance of how tragic this condition can be for a number of different reasons. My name's Carl Monaghan. This is Pelvic Pain Natters. You matter. I'll catch you on the next episode.